You're with Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. I was just there with Jakob Nordengard, is how you really say his name, but he told me just say Nordengard because obviously he didn't like my pronunciation of it. He's probably right that I'm probably wrong. But he's a very interesting guy who has got such a vast amount of knowledge, and we only just touched the surface of his knowledge. I wish we had gotten a bit into digital IDs because he's done a lot of work on that, but he's done a lot of work indeed. And we've got someone else, of course, who's done a lot of work coming up in the next hour. But before that, Big Brother is definitely watching you. He's watching you on the street, in your shop, in your home. He's in your pocket. He's in your hand. He sleeps with you in your bed. And he's there while you take your bath. Big Brother feels like you should definitely let him inside your body, inside your mind, and probably inside your soul. Why fight it? He can make you tighter, faster, more versatile. Big Brother can tell you what you're doing and what you should be doing. Big Brother wants you to leave behind your logical mind. He wants you to let go of your rationalism. Everything is relative. Everything is hyper-connected. Everything is becoming Big Brother. You should become Big Brother too, maybe. Big Brother wants you to pray. He wants you to pray to him. To the new gods. To the tech gods. To the gods of Epstein. To the gods of Diddy. To the masters of the neo-MSM. To the Brands. To the Carlsons. To the Shapiros, to your new gods. Big Brother wants you to be part of the collective. He wants to envelop your very essence. He wants you to be part of the cloud. Big Brother wants you to use his systems, his rules, because you're in his world. Big Brother says, why not? Isn't it as though you have any other options? No. That Big Brother is taking over your financial system, your emergency services, and your ability to communicate. So why struggle? Big Brother wants you to own nothing. Big Brother wants you to be happy. Why struggle? Big Brother wants you to own nothing. Big Brother wants you to be happy too. He wants to control all aspects of your emotional output. Big Brother does not want you to be sad. Big Brother can give you something to ease your sadness. Big Brother wants to make your life easier. He wants to help to carry your burden. He wants to remove your burden entirely. Big Brother wants you to die. Big Brother has done all of the calculations. Big Brother says that you're a drain on the rest of society, statistically speaking. Big Brother has called for the termination of the bottom 1% of humanity. Big Brother wants you to agree. Big Brother says it'll only be serial killers and rapists who are euthanized. Big Brother wants your support. Big Brother has noticed that the severely ill and disabled people are also a major drain on the rest of society. Big Brother has agreed with the majority of these people to accept sterilization or euthanasia. Big Brother has reduced the economic deficit by a slow reduction in the main problematic population masses. Unfortunately, Big Brother has also identified a number of terrorist resistors who have been responsible for major attacks on our joint infrastructure. Big Brother had introduced emergency powers in response to continued environmental threats. Big Brother's comprehensive AI-driven systems have calculated the amount of population which needs to be reduced to avoid the climate catastrophe, which is definitely upon us. I know that because Big Brother told me it's upon us. Big Brother doesn't want you to struggle. Big Brother does not want you to feel pain. Big Brother does not want you trying to affect others waiting in the queue, or you're crying to make them changing their mind. No, Big Brother has outlawed relationships between humans to stem the consequences of man-made anomalies. Big Brother would like to wish you a happy humanity. Close the door on the way out. Right, how do you fancy bank holiday weekend at a music festival for the Truth and Freedom Tribe? With 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors, of course. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who is aware of the truth in the world. A stand in the park and the light paper present Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to the 27th. So that's just under a month away now. You get 4 days camping and full access to a whole festival for just £60 plus booking fees. Children under five come free. There is no better bargain anywhere. Visit our website now and make sure you don't miss out on what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family. StandInTheLight.uk. You can find that. And if you missed your favorite TNT show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on TNT website. We are also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT.
It's the stuff.
What citizen wouldn't want to make American great again?
People are talking about.
Vilifying MAGA, it's just not going to work.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, here we go. If last week's announcement of a $61 billion aid package for Ukraine defense wasn't enough to wake you up to the fact that war is not ending anytime soon, maybe this will. On Sunday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, that guy again, indicated that he is working with Washington on a bilateral security agreement which would last 10 years. Is it 10 years of perpetual warfare? I think it sounds like it. Here with the story, join me once again, is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Ruckus, tell us more about this.
I think it's just a sign of more things to come, Johnny. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, I remember doing early reporting about this conflict with Ukraine and Russia. And early on, it was still like people were hesitant to say, is this really a war or not? Well, everyone recognizes now that it's a war, right? And the thing is like, well, we don't want the war to drag on. We want this thing to end quickly. We want this to end peacefully. All at the same time, they're like signing all these agreements for these weapons that are going to be delivered like 2, 3, 5 years in the future. And I keep scratching my head going like, well, what does that mean? Well, now they're just coming right out and saying it. And it looks to me like they're trying to Trump-proof this whole thing in a way. And not just Trump-proof, but the following. The next two presidents in charge of this country will technically be unable to stop what they're trying to put in place now. We'll see, though. But yeah, that $61 billion, pish posh, small potatoes compared to what Zelensky has in mind for the near future. Apparently, reportedly, allegedly, Kyiv is negotiating with the administration of one U.S. President Joe Biden on a long-term agreement that would put Washington on the hook to provide Ukraine with military, economic, and political support for the next decade. At least that's what Zelensky said on Sunday in his daily video address. Well, you didn't know he does a daily video address. You should subscribe to that. Not such commitments are needed to ensure Ukraine has the quote unquote efficiency in assistance it needs to stem a recent battlefield advances by Russian forces and gain the upper hand. At least that's what he said. All right, here you go, everybody. Here's what Zelensky said. Quote, we are working to commit to paper concrete levels of support for this year and for the next 10 years. It will include military, financial, and political support, as well as what concerns joint production of weapons. End quote. Ukraine has already signed bilateral security agreements with several NATO members, including the UK, Germany, and France. Zelensky said he wants the long-term deal under negotiation with Washington to be the strongest pact yet. And well, you know, I guess I'm not the only one who's observing and commenting on this, referring to it as a forever war. So is Elon Musk, as well as former PayPal chief David Sacks, who both took to X to warn about all of this. In fact, Sacks said the $61 billion aid was, quote, just the beginning, end quote. Let's see. He said that, quote, the next two U.S. presidents won't be able to switch it off, end quote. And Tesla said, quote, this, I mean, not Tesla, Mr. Tesla, Musk said, quote, this is insane, the forever war, end quote. So, yep, if Trump becomes president, because he has spoken out against, quote, handing out gifts of billions and billions of dollars, end quote, in aid to Kyiv. And he said earlier this month that his team was considering, quote, doing it in the form of a loan, end quote. Well, I guess they have other plans for the future without Trump's, you know, what they don't care what that guy thinks. But what say you, Johnny?
Yeah, I don't think anybody believes that Trump is going to come in and stop what's happening. I mean, he's the guy who gave Israel the Golan Heights and signed that off. And looking across over at the TNT radio chat, Dark Commission says Zelensky won't live long enough to see any of the future unfold. And Wild Heather says Zelensky wants the war to continue because when it ends, he's toast. They'll bump him off. I think a lot of people feel like that at the moment, that the continuation will happen whether we like it or not. And you're right. The money that they've already given them isn't like they can go back on it next week. It's going to be honored over years. So they're showing their support for years to come. And I mean, we know this is the Kissinger doctrine, isn't it? This is perpetual limited warfare. That means you have to fund perpetual limited warfare. That means you have to organize it. I would really like to see, this is terrible to say in actual fact, if I think about it, I'd like to see a massive Russian offensive to put an end to the war in Ukraine and for all of that funding to mean nothing. That's what I'd like. I'd like all eggs put in one basket to get broken in certain areas and then everybody turn around and go, well, we shouldn't do that again. But that's not going to happen because the neocons are in charge of what goes on in Eastern Europe and in forcing forward this war and all other wars. I mean, it's been a continuous grind. It's just meat to the grinder. And also it allows them to test out all of these new forms of weaponry, all of this AI warfare, all of the things that they've been desperate to test out for a long time. Well, the killing fields of Gaza and the killing fields of Eastern Ukraine are the test beds for the fourth industrial revolution tech that you will see coming into your sky, into your house, and obliterating your family one day too. That's what we've got understand that this doesn't end in, there's no even time scale, it's like 5 years, 10 years. No, this is the never-ending perpetual war created by the behemoth Solus, giant intelligence structure of America that has always looked to dominate the world since its inception, and since World War II at the very least. So I'm not surprised to hear about any of this. Do they mention, do you say how much that they're actually looking to haggle out of this? Because this kind of reminds me of his name escapes me now, but the German prime minister back in the early 70s who gave all of the money to the German Marshall Fund that would then go to NGOs to fund these type of wars in Eastern Europe via proxy so that the CIA could do it for the Germans instead of the Germans pay. You know, this reminds me of that sort of like pressure. But did they say how much is involved in any of these 10-year packages for the future, Ruckus?
Nope, unfortunately. So it seems to me like they're just going to try to approve, make some sort of legally binding agreements, right? And then Zelensky, as he said, he wants Ukraine's bilateral pact with Washington to include specific levels of aid. So when they get down to put this on paper, I suppose, apparently, according to him, there will be a number, but we don't have a number right now. But I mean, Dude, this is all, I mean, we just approved the $61 billion for Ukraine, you know, and then they just, Austin on Friday, Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense General guy, he just revealed what's in the $6 to $7 billion that they're giving him. The dude's getting Patriot missiles, and he's like, yeah, you know what, I think I'm going to go ask for more and make sure that it's legally binding for the next 10 years. This guy's crazy, dude. But anyways, at least they're just doing what the public wants, Johnny. This is what the American voters want. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. A poll released in February showed that nearly 70% of Americans want Biden to push for a negotiated settlement with Moscow involving compromises on both sides rather than continuing to fund the conflict. But Biden doesn't care. These people don't care about any of us, my friend.
No, isn't it amazing how democracy works? We don't want this. Ah, well. That's life. At least you're not getting killed at the moment. That's kind of what the essence of all of their technique is here. It's terrible to hear, but in the same way, expected. I'm sure you'll bring us more happy news tomorrow as well, won't you, Ruckus?
Oh, I'll try my hardest. I'll see you then.
See if you can find a good story that'll make me smile. I doubt it, but see, just see. Maybe. Whatever. I'll see you tomorrow, my friend. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
TNT's Dirk Pohlman.
Tell us what happened on this during this Congress that you tried to have to take place in Berlin, but you were not really successful because our police intervened and some people from the Interior Minister cursed them.
It was quite hysterical. You know, this level of rhetorical escalation, and then also politicians in Berlin saying that this should be banned, and in fact, you know, that wouldn't have been legal. There were no legal grounds for a ban, and but it was clear that if they couldn't ban it, they could still find other ways to prevent it. One of these ways was by freezing our bank account, so freezing Jewish Voices' bank account, because our account was being used to gather the funds for it.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. I hope we haven't been too depressing talking about the potential emergencies to end democracy in the world, data surveillance, the co-opting of our society, Ukrainian weapons and the like. So far, I do apologize. It's probably not going to get any happier anytime soon. I'll just say that. So just prepare yourself for a little bit more sadness, because, yeah, I've got a returning guest coming on now who I'm really looking forward to speaking to, because we spoke very briefly for 20 minutes. He kind of gave me an understanding that we really need to talk about this subject in fuller, and I really want to I've tried to make some questions that will be able to get this information out to more people as well, because this is massively important. Mark Giraudot is a strategy consultant, a member of Panda. He's written multiple articles on COVID and has been involved in the discussions surrounding natural immunity versus vaccine-induced immunity. His groundbreaking new book, and it is groundbreaking, it's really important, I think really important. Some things come that you know, are just information that adds on as a resource, but this changes paradigms, so this is really important. The Needle Secret, Unraveling Vaccine Harm and the Bolus Theory Revolution presents compelling evidence to suggest that a significant number of contemporary ailments, including some of the most perplexing and widespread health issues of our time, can be traced back to the inadvertent intravenous injection of vaccines and other substances. You can follow him on X at Giraudot Mark, which Giraudot is spelled G-I-R-A-R-D-O-T Marc is spelled M-A-R-C, and visit his website to learn more. The Bolus Theory, Bolus being B-O-L-U-S theory.com. Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show, Mr. Giraudot. I totally appreciate you giving me your time to explain some vital aspects about your research. Massively, I'm really glad that we made this connection. How are you today?
I'm good. Always happy to be here, John. Thanks for having me back.
I like how you, I mean, I've seen you in a few interviews outside the interview game gave last time. I've watched you talk a few times, and I like the fact that you can just, you know, openly talk about these things because you've got the knowledge, you've done the work. I really appreciate that because this, especially on this subject, I think this is possibly, through the whole time of researching COVID, this is possibly one of the most important facts that I think people don't understand. So for those who missed our previous conversation that we had, a short conversation, can you explain the Bolus theory in relatively basic terms?
Sure. The Bolus theory is really the outcome of 10,000 hours of work, root cause analysis to try and understand why some folks who are having a vaccine have adverse reactions and some other more lucky ones don't. And my finding during this 3-year deep dive investigation is that fundamentally when you insert the needle into the muscle, when you're about to do a intramuscular injection, you're going to inevitably cut through veins or venules or small arteries, and that systematically part of the dose is going to go directly into the bloodstream. And that's terrible. That's terrible for two reasons. The first reason is that by bypassing many of our evolution's protections, what we do is we send a dose of vaccine which is 300,000 times more concentrated than it should. It's going to hit on the walls of our blood vessels. It's going to basically do what the vaccine is supposed to do, which is penetrate those cells and trigger an immune reaction against those cells, but they're all concentrated. So it's going to create considerable damage throughout the cardiovascular system, throughout the capillaries in the organs. And basically, it explains most of the adverse reactions we've seen in the past 3 years. So that's the first part. The second part of the Bolus theory is that, again, by bypassing some of the protections of the evolution, this bolus, because it's more numerous, is going to go places it's not supposed to go, and it's going to go into a sort of bunker for our stem cells. Or basically our source code is included in our stem cells, which are hidden away in our blood vessels. Stem cells are essential to life, red blood cells, to white blood cells, which are immune cells, but also for regeneration and aging. And if those vaccines start hitting those stem cells, then my hypotheses and a lot of the work that I've been doing seems to confirm that, is that it's going to do two things. It's going to trigger cancers, and it's going to tinker with our genetic code, which is open when cells divide and accessible and vulnerable, and it's going to trigger genetic disorders.
So I'm not medically trained. So I may get certain things. I may not understand all of this. So if I say something that, you know, I'm wrong on something, please feel free to correct me on it, etc. Because trying to understand this is really important. But you wrote the needle secret in response to COVID. But if Bolus theory is correct, does it literally affect anyone who's ever had any type of Is it only intramuscular, intravenous therapy or injection? Is it basically anything that includes a needle?
Well, to a certain extent, yes. Anything that includes a needle runs the risk of going IV, even to a certain extent, a bee sting. So the risk is there. After that, there's two studies that you have here that actually have shown that all the vaccines that have been injected have hit the heart of the vaccinated. Okay, so every single one of the vaccinated, I think there's 5.6 billion people, have been hit in their heart, and their heart have been to a very small degree damaged. Fortunately for us, our bodies have enormous healing capabilities, and so not everybody's going to be harmed permanently. You're going to have most likely. So that's to answer your question, to be a bit more precise also, is every single shot is not the same thing. These vaccines are extremely special because each particle is toxic. It's cytotoxic. It carries the power of triggering an immune reaction against the cell that actually is hosting it, and having it destroyed. So, you're getting injected with 10 to 40 billion of those. You see the potential power is enormous. But if you get an injection of a steroid or vitamins, et cetera, you might have boluses that occur, but obviously not with the same severity and gravity.
Okay. Right. We'll take a quick break for the news, but I got loads of questions when we come back. So you're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
Big news.
Big news.
Big news.
The biggest breaking news story.
Holy crap.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky announced on Sunday that Kyiv is in negotiations with the Biden administration to establish a decade-long agreement for sustained military, economic, and political support from the United States. Tesla's autopilot system has been linked to at least 467 crashes, resulting in 14 fatalities and numerous serious injuries, according to federal authorities who have identified a critical safety gap in the technology.
The common housefly. Caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa. Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Welcome back. I'm here with Mark Girardot, and we're talking about the bolus theory, and we're talking about The Needle Secret, his book. What's your response? What's the response been like to your work so far?
Well, there's really two responses. The people who take time to dive into my work, my articles, and my book are overwhelmed. They're actually, most of the time, they click and they understand, because it's actually relatively simple to understand. So the people who have actually read me are extremely happy and supportive. Unfortunately, a lot of people have actually ignored my work and haven't read it and have been discounting it, a bit like Semmelweis was Dr. Semmelweis with the hand washing was also discounted and ignored. But I think now that the book is out, and how when people read it, they see how much I have worked and how robust my analysis is. In discussion I had with John Campbell, Dr. Campbell, the other day, we go and there's really hardly anything I can't answer. It's actually very, I've done a work that's extremely large. And evidently there's always some, some areas where there are still hypotheses, But overall, it's extremely solid.
So before we go on to talk more about the damages that come from this, there is also hope in your work, isn't there? There's an actual treatment that you see as effective. What is a treatment? How effective can it be? And is this a treatment that everybody should have anyway in that sense?
Oh, very good question. There's a lot of hope. In the book, actually, my last part four, lists all a number of modern day illnesses and also proposes some solutions and some treatments. One of the most potent treatments is oxygen therapy. Why? Because oxygen therapy, notably hyperbaric oxygen therapy, has been actually approved by the FDA for damage done also by treatments, by another treatment, by radiotherapy, where you have necrosis. And if you want to rebuild vessels, blood vessels, and if you want to basically mend your linings, your blood vessel linings, oxygen therapy is going to stimulate your stem cells, and over weeks, it's going to repair them. I've had a few people read my book and work with their doctors and start actually getting some early feedbacks that are extremely encouraging.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear about that, because I think from disaster often comes some sort of hope and some sort of idea of what we can do. Once people have been negatively affected, of course, people look for a solution, and that gives us all a solution. Partly what the evil people use against us too, though. They're experimenting on us to supposedly try and find that solution. And they don't like things like the therapies you're talking about there, because it doesn't make masses of money. And it can be done by relatively cheaply by people who have the right technique, equipment, skills, and training. So going back, how much of any of these injections that we have that you're talking about within in this work end up affecting the parts of the body which aren't originally meant to be affected?
100% of them. And that's they all leak, and they all hit an IV a vessel, so 100% of them are going places they're not supposed to go to.
So it's just
now,
like
they don't necessarily harm you each time. Huh? Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I believe that, you know, it's a bit like I don't know if I said that last time, but it's a bit like a fire, right? And it's the damage versus the distance from the tip of the needle is going to exponentially diminish as the vessel that's cut is far away, further away. So a bit like a fire where you burn yourself by touching it or being too close, and at one point you're not feeling the warmth and it's not hurting you. So it's about 1 in 20 shots, which is harmful.
Wow,
which is a lot.
That number is enormous. If people knew they had a 1 in 20 chance, that's like buying 4 scratch cards and winning a pound. I mean, that's very likely. You describe. Go on.
Yeah, go ahead. No, but I mean, it's going to be in different places, and depending on, you know, depending on the size of the dose, depending on the topology, the form it takes, and how it goes into that chaotic voyage down the vascular system, and depending on where it lands, it can be extremely dangerous, you can manage it. You know, it could be in the muscle, and you're going to be fine. But it can be extremely small and in the brain, and you're going to have a stroke.
I just looking across at the chat there, a Dark Commission was asking a question. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but is shedding a real thing? It was very controversial to even mention it during the pandemic, but is shedding an actual thing? Do you know?
Yes, I do know, but I have a different perspective on shedding because I've actually studied it quite in detail. So I mean, there is the risk of shedding of the vaccine particles. It's there's a risk of a dose, a sort of, let's say, an important dose going in two areas, in the semen, where it might have aggregated, or in the mother's milk. Those are two areas where shedding of the vaccine can actually play a role. That's not necessarily, you know, positive. The rest of the shedding through the skin or through breathing has to be minute and so small that I don't see how it could be harmful. Nonetheless, one of the things that is most likely shedding in large quantity is hormones. Why? Because one of my one of the mechanism of harm that I've outlined is you're poking holes into the blood tissue membranes, and notably the ones that are holding and regulating the hormones. And so if you have a sexual hormone or another hormone that is released constantly at extremely high level, you might have shedding. I had a number of women contact me almost 3 years ago now on this topic because they hadn't taken the vaccine, but they're still feeling problems. And each time you had really a big impact, it was either through intercourse or through because they were manipulating people. So they were massaging people, you know, their chiropractors. And so they were getting a high dose of hormones, most likely through that.
Right. Okay. That makes a hell of a lot of sense. That leaves me with a boggled mind, though. Listen, we're going to go for a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about more. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
Hi. I'm your retirement fear, but don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Pre-retirement? Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pre-retirement.org. Huh.
Retirement savings options? Oh. Potential tax breaks?
Yep. Boo.
Oh, I could build up savings for my side hustle. This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisisretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
I tell my son, I love you every single day. I love you. Now, my dad has never said that to me. Not because he doesn't love me, but because culturally it wasn't comfortable for him. Now that he's a grandfather, he says, I love you to my son every time he sees him. My advice to all the fathers out there, forget the cultural restrictions. They grow up way too fast for you to waste even a single precious moment.
When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. I'm here with Marc Giraudoux, who's a very clever man who's talking about bolus theory and his new book. I'm looking across, Marc, at the chat again. I love to get people involved in the chat. And someone said it's a bit of a messy question word-wise, but I could do with a little bit of a tip on this. They're saying, was it whoever gave the jab they didn't aspirate that would cause it to enter the bloodstream? Now, what is aspiration, and does that make any sense to you?
Of course it makes a lot of sense. Okay, so aspiration is a century-old technique that was invented to test for the fact that the needle is inserted into a blood vessel. Okay, so that technique has been abandoned, was actually advised against, which is really incomprehensible. I mean, it's mad to have done that. Now the because obviously if you're in a blood vessel and you can actually realize it, you know, then you stop your injection and you redo it somewhere else. But the only issue with that is that, and that's also one of my big discoveries, is that it's not a panacea. So we've been, a lot of doctors and nurses the past decades have been using this technique confidently, thinking that they're never going intravenously, whereas they are. And why are they? Because you're not necessarily, doctors are right, you're very rarely inserted into a vessel, but you don't need a fluid to be inserted in a vessel. You just need to be not too distant from that tip and for the vessel to be cut. And the pressure differential means that you're going to inject a dose, whatever it is, a partial dose, but you don't need much. You know, the problem is you need a few hundred transfection in the brain to have a stroke. You need a few 10,000, you need 60,000 to do an aneurysm, to trigger an aneurysm. So it is very damageable for massive injections that trigger anaphylaxis, for example. And obviously some people could have been saved with that technique.
In one of your interviews I heard, you described a bolus as being a swarm of particles. How many of those particles are potentially dangerous then, if we're talking about this?
It's a difficult question to answer. You know, they're injecting you know, let's take Pfizer is 10 billion nanoparticles. Okay, so even a fraction of that, 0.0006% of that can trigger a rupture, an aortic rupture that's big like that. So that's the issue is the problem is just a tiny dose in the wrong place can kill you.
Yeah. Is it also the fact that some of these particles just cause allergic responses in the body anyway? So, I mean, they can be injected correctly, but the body automatically responds as though it understands that this is a foreign body. Is that just a case as well?
Well, I mean, the vaccines are there to trigger an immune reaction. So, yes, it's an interesting question. Why? Because, you know, I found an article from 1936 in my research, whereby anaphylaxis was not an allergic reaction, but a bolus, an accidental intravenous injection. So somehow in the past nearly 100 years or 90 years, the message got lost or got translated into, if you have anaphylactic shock, it's an allergy. No, it's not an allergy. It's actually an IV injection of a very big dose. That's the reason why you're having this this very brutal attack.
So another question. Again, I'm not like a medical doctor. So a lot of my work is always looking at the infrastructure and how they seed these things. These people who take control of our societies, including medical authorities and medical autocracies, as we see now. But does part of the potential damage from bolus theory occur from injections being done at high speed and being done too quickly?
Yes, I mean, it certainly contributes. It contributes in two ways. One, sloppy work. So indeed, if you inject in a different area, you have more chances of hitting a larger vein. And you know, training is fundamental here, and a lot of people weren't trained. So mistakes were made maybe more than they should have. And after that, the speed of the injection, which was recommended, so the protocol that's recommended to avoid pain, is really bad, because if you inject slowly, which is, for example, what bodybuilders try to do when they inject steroids to avoid Trenkov, if you inject slowly, it's going to be slightly more diluted into the blood, and therefore the damage is going to be less.
Right. Okay. So that makes a lot more sense. I've heard you say, well, you mentioned earlier that, you know, some research shows that every single heart is damaged in some way by these injections every single time. Is that true?
Well, it's true. It's true from what these are saying. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense because there is no way you can go through a muscle without cutting. You know, I was cutting meat yesterday, and then immediately, you know, you're bleeding. You're there's blood coming out. So it's impossible. What is most likely happening is tiny vessels are getting hit, and tiny hits. It's not necessarily, you know, you recover from it. Now, the question is, can you recover from it happening 30 times or 40 times or 50 times? That's a real question, and I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a lot more research and a lot more tragedy if we're going to end up finding out that sort of thing. That's what the problem is, isn't it? So have you had much? I know I asked about the response to your work, but have you had much pushback from the medical establishment about your hypothesis?
Well, for those who listened, it depends. It really depends. There are some, the nurses are supportive because of the aspiration, and they're absolutely scandalized by the fact that this technique was abandoned. But it's true that most doctors have actually, you know, ignored it very quickly, and this, you know, didn't believe it at all, which I think is part of, you know, it's a cognitive dissonance. And for them, it's very difficult to start contemplating that maybe for the past 30 years they've been harming people. You know, I understand that humanly. I can understand that it's extremely hard. The thing is, collectively, somehow, you know, it's not only the doctor's fault or you know, or whoever. It's collectively, why didn't we figure this out sooner? Why does it need? It clearly needs to be somebody outside of the circle that actually looks at it and says, "Oh, that doesn't make sense." But we should have collectively realized this catastrophe a long time ago. Because one thing that's important, remember, if every 20 shots is harmful to a degree or another, and you start injecting 50 shots or 80 shots in during somebody's life, at the end of his life, that person is inevitably harmed. Okay, so one of the, you know, what I one of my statement in The Needle Secret is that I can explain most modern day illnesses by tying them back to those accidents. And we've accelerated the numbers, or we've increased the numbers of injection these past 40 years drastically. And so I can explain arteriosclerosis, cancer, autism, sudden infant death syndrome for babies, leaky gut, obesity, neurodegenerative disease, Alzheimer's, Parkinson, endocrine disorders, etc. You can all tie them, including infertility. Okay, and they are all exploding. And however incredible that may seem, it's you know, I don't see how I could be wrong. Because the work I have done is extremely robust. Everything is proven. The only conjecture I still have in my book and in my theory is on cancer, whereby I make the assumption or the hypothesis that when a stem cell is actually contaminated by a vaccine, it's going to replicate to dilute the poison because it has no other other strategy to use. And I'm not able to prove that hypothesis, even though there's a ton of evidence that points to that.
Yeah. This is really interesting. You talk about, we should have some sort of knowledge about this already. In actual fact, I mean, if you just look at intravenous injections, you go back to the 1660s, you get the first ever account of intravenous injection that we can find there in the scientific literature. So why is it taking over 350 years to theorize over potential damaging effects, especially when we've come to a point where it's been so super regular, especially over the past 50 to 70 years? Why is it? Why have all the damaging effects been ignored?
It's a good question, Johnny. I don't know if I have the entire answer. I have one or two points. One is the fact that most doctors, first of all, are not trained for that, so they doctors cannot understand what we're talking about. Biologists should or could. Unfortunately, most of them immediately go into biology, not into the physics of things. To a certain extent, the reality is the injection, and there's a middle ground here, which is where I've been going, because I'm not a biologist. I don't know much. I mean, I know some, but not much. But I've been trying to, get the facts right, the observation, and the observation are in the physical world. And if you don't start there and you don't look at those first dominoes, those first two, three dominoes, and you're going towards stuff that's actually fantasy, you're never going to get the solution. So I think the reality is a lot of biologists are not looking at reality, and they are not trained the way I am trained to do a root cause analysis. Root cause analysis starts at, you look at, the observation, and notably that the damage is extremely concentrated, and that's a tip that says it all.
Yeah, I'm just looking across at the chat, and Ruckus, my man Ruckus said, Mark is not a biologist, but I bet he knows what a woman is. We'll leave that one for today, though. I won't investigate whether you do. We'll leave you on that. So just one last question, then. We got a minute left. If what you're saying turns out to be true, many people have been physically affected or killed by such injections, how can we stop this from happening? How do we just stop all injections?
We first need to get this the word out. Okay, the first thing is get the word out. People need to read the book. People need to understand the theory. People need to talk to their neighbors, to their loved ones, and get a shared agreement that, okay, we need to storm the world with that, so that there is no other solution than to stop injections right now being made for COVID, but also for COVID vaccine, but also for measles and others, and HPV and all of that. Stop them and review the injections. That's the first thing. After that, I think the fallibility that the public health and the medical establishment have shown demand that the entire vaccination arena be reviewed, and and some of the vaccine possibly reviewed against the risk, because if you underestimate the risk, like's been the case, and overestimate the benefits, then something's wrong.
Excellent. Mark Giraudeau, thank you very much for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show. You've been amazing, enlightening. I hope to speak to you again sometime soon. Thanks. Yeah, bye, indeed, bye, the needle secret. Go out, get it. Why not? Learn a little bit. That's what we all need to do. Thanks to Jakob Norngaard and Mark Giraudeau for all of their hard work and for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show to explain some very complicated issues. Thanks to all of you in the chat. You know, stay tuned for the Mark Morano Show is up next. And until tomorrow, my friends, stay safe, stay awake, don't go changing, and thanks for sticking with us. See you tomorrow on today's News Talk TNT.